careful. Social distance, we don't want to catch this thing, and I mean, it's really going around bad. So a lot more churches are shutting down here this week, around here and stuff. So, take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter number 7. And Acts chapter 7, I'm going to try not to be too long today, but I want you to look with me. I hope you got your Bible, because I'm going to give you some verses. I want you to see some things this morning. It may be a little bit longer than I have been, but I'm not going to be too long. I'm going to try to get you. I know it's hot out there and all that, but this is an important message for where we're at today. Acts chapter 7, verse 35 says this, "Then Moses, whom they refused, saying, 'Who made thee a ruler and a judge?' The same did God send to be a ruler and to deliver by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and to the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. And this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear.'" I want you to notice verse 38. "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spake unto him the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, and received the lively word." And I want to preach a little bit about that this morning, on the church in the wilderness. Now, that was the Old Testament church. We know doctrine not the same thing. And the word church is the Greek word ekklesia, and it means a called out assembly. It's what it means. It means people. It's a called out assembly. And I want you to know this morning, the church today is in the wilderness. We're in the wilderness. We're in the coronavirus wilderness. We're in the political wilderness. We're in the racial wilderness. Everything around us is a wilderness. But you know what? That's the way the church has always been. It's always been in the wilderness. I preached about a month ago, a coronavirus update, and I said this thing's going to spread like a wildfire, and it's spreading like a wildfire. And let me tell you, folks, you better buckle up, because it's about to really get bad when we hit the colder months. And you and I, as a child of God, we have to deal with where we're at, and the church is in the wilderness. Mitch McConnell, a Republican senator, finally come around this thing, said Tuesday. He said, "Regretfully, this is not over. There were some that hoped this virus would go away sooner than it has. And I think the straight talk here is that everyone needs to understand this is not going away. Not possible unless God intervenes. This is going to be with us for a while. The coronavirus is not involved in American politics. It has its own way forward. And we need to act responsibly." That's what we're doing this morning. That's why I'm asking to social distance. Why I'm asking to wear a mask. You say, what? That's just being responsible one to another. Lindsey Graham, another Republican who denied it for a while, said this. He said the fallout from Memorial Day was a disaster, pointing to an increase in cases coupled with a decrease in hospital. He said this, "You can see the effects of what happens when you kind of take your foot off the gas. All I can say is that if you believe wearing a mask is a sign of weakness, then you're wrong." He said, "Nobody is asking you to go to Afghanistan and fight in the war and get shot. We're just asking you to use some common sense." Just common sense, folks. And you and I as a church, we have to do the same thing. And we're in the wilderness in a lot of ways. When I try to do in this church, I'm trying to keep you safe spiritually. When you come in here, they're preaching the Word of God. I want you to know, I'm trying to keep you safe. I'm trying to keep you safe mentally. And I'm trying to keep you safe physically. I want you, when you leave this church, I want you to feel like that I wasn't infected by some kind of spiritual nonsense or physical nonsense or the virus. I want you to go home tonight and listen to somebody in this church. You get a text that Miss Connor, Miss Jenna's got the COVID, or Pat, or Robert, or me, or my wife. I want you to feel laying in bed at night and say, "Well, bless God, I feel safe. I wasn't around. I did the right thing." Because listen, if this thing keeps going, it's getting closer to home every day. Dr. Robert Redford, the CDC, said this yesterday. He said, "How do you think the fall and the winter of 2020 and 2021 are going to be probably one of the most difficult times we've ever experienced in the history of American public health?" He said, "When we are concurrent to the COVID ID and influenza is." Brother, it's real. And right now as a church, we're in the wilderness. Remember talking to Brother Charlie Andrews. He has a camp meeting every year in July the 4th. Magic City Jubilee.
He's had it for over 40 years. He canceled it this year. And I called, I saw where he canceled it about a month ago, and he canceled it. And he told me this. He said, "Brother Terry, you and I will never go back to worshiping God the way we used to do before this virus." He said it won't happen in our lifetime. This thing has spread so much. I went to the doctor Thursday, Dr. Gray, a new doctor, and witnessed to him about the Lord. His nurse told me there, and this is just his, there's a bunch of doctors there, just them. She told me, she said, right now they see 2 or 3 COVID infections a day, every day. They're seeing 2 or 3 come to their office. They take them outside and test them. And Dr. Gray, I was talking to him, and I witnessed to him. I said, "Doc, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? I love to witness to doctors." And I said, "You saved, Doc? Do you know the Lord? Is your Savior? You ever ask Him to save you?" He said, "I sure have." And I said, "Well, Doc, do you go to church anywhere?" He said, "I used to go to church at Highlands, but when that virus hit, you know, it shut it down. They recently reshut it." And he said, "I just say," he said, "most of the infections, a lot of them that we're seeing come in," he said, "they're coming out of the churches where they're coming from." And I told him what we're doing. I said, "We've been doing a drive-up, and we're letting people, some that come in that can't handle the heat." He said, "You're doing the right thing." He said, "You cannot be too cautious with this virus," what he said. He said, "It's a real deal." And I want to tell you a few things about the church in the wilderness, because that's where we're at. And we just face the facts. Where we're at, what we got to do. Nobody wants to catch this thing. Our people say, "Well, I got insurance. I got this. I got to live through it." It'll kill you. It'll kill you. I talked to a couple here about a month ago, and they were telling me, they said, "Well, I don't know who to believe." I said, "I can tell you who to believe. Believe those doctors that are on the front line. Don't listen to any politician. Don't listen to news media sitting in the office. Listen to the folks that are on the front line battling this thing." And they were kind of pooing it off. Well, guess what? About a week later, they both came down with a bad cold. And I talked to them. She said, "That scared us to death." She said, "We thought we had the COVID." And she said, "I'll tell you something." She said, "We're not going to play games with that." She said, "I thought we had it, and it scared us to death." She said, "I think the Lord just kind of gave us a kind of a wake-up call, because you don't want to catch this thing, brother." And I want to preach about the church in the wilderness. And see, you and I can have church this morning. It shouldn't affect the church. And I'm going to give you a few things. I want to say, first of all, about the church. The church is not a building. No building is the church. Now, I like a building. I like to be in here. I'm preaching out of the building this morning instead of outside. I like the AC. I like the soft pews. I like the singing. I like the shouting. I like the hugging. Listen, I'm a church guy. I've been to this church 10 years. In 10 years, I have only missed one service in the 10 years Sunday service since I've been coming. When I was in town, and that time, physically was impossible for me to be here because I was sick. I like church. I like the church building. But let me tell you, this building is not the church. Buildings don't make a church. If that was the case, we need to go down near Jehovah's Witness. They got a big one. If that's the case, go to Church Island. If that's the case, you really want to be in the church building, get in the Roman Catholic Church. They got the building. They make the Church of Highlands look like a toolbox. Buildings don't impress the Lord either. Take your Bible, turn to Mark 13. Hope you got a Bible. Mark chapter 13. I'm going to give you some verses and things you may never seen. And go to Romans, go to Revelation 3 and Mark chapter 13. I'm going to tell you something else. The Lord's not impressed with buildings. He's not impressed with buildings. Don't impress Him. Look at Mark chapter 13. I want you to notice the context of Mark 13, by the way. It's the second advent of Jesus Christ. And He said, "When I get ready to come back, I'm going to tear up these churches." He may be getting ready to come back. He might just be tearing them up right now. That's what He said. Look at the context. Don't believe me? Look what it said. Mark chapter 13 verse 1 says this. "And He went out of the temple." That's the church. "And one of His disciples said to Him, 'Master, see what manner of stones and what manner of buildings we have.'" See that exclamation? He said, "Look at this." And Jesus answered and said to him, "See thou these great buildings? See the great buildings?" He said, "There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And look at the context. And He said, "The Mount of Olives against the temple, Peter and him came." He said, "When shall these things be?" He said, "Hey, I'll tell you when I'm going to tear that stuff up. Is when I get ready to come back."
Revelation chapter 13 over there, verse 14, Revelation 3:14. If you got it, there's the Laodicean church age. That's the church age, that's the only church in the Bible in that Revelation that Jesus Christ is outside and can't get in. And that was a church that said, I'm rich. I'm increased with goods, have need of nothing. All about stuff, brother. It's not about stuff. It's not about a building. The church of God had never been about a building. I heard a preacher say one time, Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 4:19, He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If you're following Jesus Christ, you ought to be fishing for men. I heard preachers say before, maybe a couple of them, they say, we're no longer fishers of men, we're keepers of the aquarium. We spend more time about the silly buildings than we do fishing for men. The church has never been the building. Take your Bible, give you a few verses, turn to Romans chapter 16. Let me tell you something. Do you know there's no church buildings in the book of Acts? You know that? How many knew that? How many knew there's no church building in the New Testament? Nowhere in the New Testament do you find a church building. Nowhere! Nowhere! Was the church there? Look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. We're in the wilderness. What I'm trying to do this morning is encourage you. Because what we're doing, somebody, I don't want you to discount or discard what we're doing. God can speak to you in a car as easy as He can speak to you in a building. In fact, He might be able to speak to you easier in a car by yourself. We're not bound by a building. God, the church is not a building. Never been. Look at Romans 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 5. Romans 16, 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. It didn't say the church was their house. It said the church was in their house. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, get Colossians chapter 4. I could give you quite a few. I'm going to give you a few more. So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you the church is not a building. It's not this building. It's no building out there. None of them. Has nothing to do with it, in fact. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. God can speak to you in a car right out there as easy as He can speak to you and deal with you and worship Him as in this building. That you out there in the car, you are as much part of the church this morning than anybody here if you're saved. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Is that what I told you? 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. The churches of Asia salute and Aquila and Priscilla, salute with much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. Their house churches. Turn over to Colossians chapter 4. I'll give you one more. I can give you a bunch more. We had a church in our house for 3 years. We saw over 200 people get saved. You say, did God get in it? He got in it. David and Maggie Beard got saved. In 6 months, he led 33 people to the Lord. I mean, that guy led hundreds of people to God. You say, where? In a house. Brother Matt Welch is a missionary coming here to Turkey. He started 120 churches. He's in Turkey, which is 99% Muslim. He started 120 churches. You know where every one of them are? They're in a house. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Verse 15. Salute the brethren which are Laodicea and Memphis and the church which is in His house. It's not a building. And that church was not the house. The church was in the house. I can give you more and more. Most Christians today, at least 75% of the Christians in the world this morning that are worshiping God, they're not in a church building. But they're as much of the church as they're saved as you and I. It's not about this building. Never have been. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Most of the history of the church have not been buildings. Buildings are a pretty new thing. I'm going to give you that in a minute. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37. This is the Faith Hall of Fame over here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Watch it. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and in caves. Brother, when this church started, the New Testament church, a lot of Christians would hide in the catacombs. There was a tomb there where they buried dead people. And the Christians are being persecuted. Nero would take them and burn them as candles in his garden. They'd throw them in the lion's den and kill them. And they're hiding for safety, just like we're trying to hide from safety of the virus this morning. They're hiding in those catacombs so that they would save their life. They weren't afraid to go home to be in heaven, but they're trying to serve God. 400 AD to 1500 AD, called the Dark Ages. It was when the Holy Roman Empire ruled the world. That was the Roman Catholic Church. They ruled the world. At that time, if you were a Bible believer, no churches, listen, you had to run for your life. They burn them at the stake. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read the Martyr's Mirror. John Huss, they burn him to the stake. In 1415, he died. They burn him to the stake. And he was singing a song when he sung. And then later, the Roman Catholic dug up his bones and ground his bones up. They burned William Tyndale to the stake. They were subverted. I can go on and on and on. You say, what are you trying to say? There were no church buildings during that time. Most of the church history didn't meet like this. And let me tell you, during that time, that was one of the greatest movements in church history. That took you up to about the 1500s, 1600s, 1700s. You know what happened? John Wesley, George Whitefield, and those men, you know what they did? They didn't meet in church buildings. They preached on the street. John Wesley said, the world is my pulpit. No churches would have them. They were running around. You had the 1700s. They had these street preachers in Whitefield. You come in the 1800s. And you had the Brush Arbor meetings. 1700s. Brush Arbor meetings. You heard about those? You know what they do? They meet outside. They take poles and put one upside there. And they put poles on the top. Then they take brush and put it all around there. And they make a little place there that people could get under there, get out of the sun, the rain. And a circuit riding preacher like Brother Earl Ankrum would ride through. And he'd preach there for about a month. But they weren't in a church. They didn't have a building. That was the 1800s. 1700s. Then you come along in the 1900s. Then they had camp meetings. 1790. They weren't in churches. You know where they were? They were in camps. They were outside in camps. Then you had the tent meetings of Billy Sunday outside. And I'm not preaching against the church. I'm just telling you, brother, I'm not preaching against buildings, but I'm going to tell you, this is not the church. Don't get that thing in your head. Say, well, hell, we can't go into a building. We can't have church. We can have church in your car this morning. Listen, I had about 15-20 services, church services, just this week. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. General William Booth said this. And man, these were men of God. These weren't politicians. These weren't puppets like we got now, some of these pitiful preachers. I mean, these were the real deal. Old General William Booth said this. No sort of defense is needed for preaching outdoors. But it would take a very strong argument to prove that a man who's never preached behind the walls of a meeting house has done his duty. A defense is required for services within buildings rather than worship outside doors. Never been about the building. Those old men of God knew it. There's a preacher named William Farrell, 1500s. He is known for a famous saying. Said this. He turned every stump and stone into a pulpit, and every house and every street and every marketplace into a church. George Whitefield said this, I believe I never was more acceptable to my master than I was standing outside and preaching outside. I now preach to 10 times more people than I ever could have if I would have stayed in the church. This church building is not the church. Look at Acts chapter 17. I like what old Billy said. I like what Acts chapter 17. It's where a lot of churches are right here today. It's where most of our churches are, Mars Hill churches. Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood up in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. That's the way a lot of God's people, that's a lot of churches. Look what they thought. Look what they thought. Here's the problem, Paul said. God that made the world and the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, it dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with a man's hands. You know what they thought? They thought it was all about the buildings, all about the temple, and they were ignorantly worshiping unknown gods. It's never been about a temple.
Most Christians that I know through the years, they didn't meet the Lord in the church, in the building. They didn't get saved there. Peter Ruttman got saved in a radio station. Earl Ankrum got saved in a storehouse. Dwight L. Moody got saved in a shoe shop. Tommy Tillman picked up a track in 1956 in Nashville, Tennessee. Brother Odell, I could go on and on and on. Was sitting down watching TV, getting ready to watch Kung Fu. I could go on and on. They didn't meet God in a church building. Listen, my friend, this thing is not confined to a building. Billy Sunday said one time, he said, walking into a church won't turn you into a Christian any more than walking in a garage will turn you into a car. It's not a church building, friends. You know where I surrendered to preach? You know where I finally quit running from God? God was beating me to death. God broke my heart one day. You know where it was? It was at Saunders Leasing. I was working there running from God. God was trying to get me to Pensacola, and I was hiding there working. You know what I did? I went in the bathroom, got in a stall, and got on my knees and got down on a toilet there and surrendered to preaching the toilet at Saunders Leasing.
You say, God will meet you there. Yeah, He'll meet you there. Nothing wrong with what we're doing. We're trying to keep you safe and trying to keep you where God can use you.
And don't underestimate what we're trying to do this morning. Don't disregard just because you're in a car this morning, just because we all can't come in a building, just because we can't do the things we used to do. Don't discount it. Don't disregard it. Don't do that. I got a letter from somebody this week used to go here blasting us and me and everything. Said we closed the church. We didn't close this church. We never closed this church. Because this church is not a building. We're probably the only church around here that's kept this in-person meetings. We had one Sunday. That if one Sunday, you remember, when they shut the thing down, we had the little stick thing, and then the Governor Ivey came in and shut everything down. Well, that week, before they even announced it, I got on there and talked to Dr. Harris, the Department of Health, and I said, Dr. Harris, can we do a drive-up service? Keep everybody in their car. And he said, yeah, you can do that. That's what they were announcing. We're finding a lot of churches in this city that's kept in person meeting, but we're not going to have to be in a building. God is not confined to this building. Let me tell you, some of the best church services I've ever had in my whole life have been in my car. Some of the best church services I've ever had been is riding down the road. Boy, I got that new car, and I tell you, I've had a blast. I got a USB player on that thing, and I got about 600 messages on it. And I got a lot of these old-time preachers. I mean, they're men of God. I'm not talking about politicians. I'm not talking about Republicans or Democrats. I'm talking about preachers, brother. The real deal. Old B.R. Lakin. That boy's skinny. Ed Ballou, full-blood Cherokee Indian. Carl Lackey. Percy Ray. Oh, I'm going to be the Lord. And brother, I've been listening to my car. I hadn't listened to some of those messages in 30 years. I just don't have time. And I'm here to tell you, I've been having me a ball. I've been having church in my car. See, church is not a building. I remember one Sunday morning, old brother Jeff led a song service. Jeff Bassett, I'll never forget this. And he got up to sing, lead a song service. He's like, take your Bible. I took the homeland book, turned to page 83. And I said, Brother Jeff, what's wrong with you? You got laryngitis? He said, no. He said, I was riding around yesterday listening to Lightners, and I've been singing with them and shouting them in my car, and I lost my voice. You know what he's doing? Having church. Church is not about a building. Say, what is church, brother? I'll tell you what it is this morning. Take your Bible, turn over to Colossians chapter 1, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Colossians chapter 1. Church is not a building. You know, one of the greatest churches that I've ever known, you know where it started in? A chicken coop. I'm talking about a chicken coop with the poop, the real deal. I'm not talking about a cleaned up one. I'm talking about a chicken coop. The preacher's name was Buddy Cargyle. Big old boy. Come out of the Hell's Angels motorcycle gang. Died when he was about 50, diabetes. That guy started a church up in Maryland in a chicken coop. Alan Ryman got saved through that thing. He's got a big church in Delaware, a friend of mine. Jack Schrader, missionaries all over the country. started in a chicken coop. Kathy Miller, who came here a few times, she went to that church some up there. She kind of lived up there. And she called me and heard I was down here, you know, and she wanted to know where we were at and come out a couple times. And she said, "Brother Terry, I thought you'd be missing." She said, "I thought you'd be meeting in a chicken coop like Buddy Cargill." You know, I told her, I said, "It used to be a chicken coop. People had known this. It's what this was, a chicken coop one day." Brother, let me tell you, God is not interested in the building. Church is not a building. So what is it, preacher? Look at the Bible. Take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It's a body. The church is not an organization. It's an organism. It's a body. It's called the body of Christ here. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, talking about Jesus. "By Him were all things created, they're in heaven, they're in earth. Why, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Look at verse 17. "He is before all things. By Him all things consist." Watch it. "He is the head of the body, the church." Look at verse 24. Come down here, verse 24. Colossians 1, 24. "Who now rejoice in my suffering with you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church." The body of Christ is a church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's the church. It's not a building. Ecclesia is a called out assembly. And when you got saved, I'll tell you what happened to you. If you got born again, you got born again spiritually. And when you got born again spiritually, I'll tell you what happened. God spiritually placed you inside the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And Paul's talking about the church. Come down to verse 27 real quick. It said this: "Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church." He's talking about the church. First apostle. Second, he's talking about the offices of the church. Come back up here to verse number 12. Know the context. He's talking about the church, the body. "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are all bodies, so also is Christ." If you're saved this morning, you're in the body of Christ. You're the church. Not this building, not a local church. The body of Christ is the church. Verse 12. "For as the body is one, hath many members, all members of that one body, having many, are one body of Christ." Watch verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, we have made to drink of that Spirit." When God saved you, you've been truly saved, you've been born again. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God baptized you into the spiritual body of Jesus Christ, and that is the church. Not just building. And that happened when you got saved. The minute you got saved, God spiritually baptized. The word baptized means immerse. Look at Acts chapter 2. Flip over to Acts chapter 2. Get to the book of Acts. Flip over to Acts chapter 2 and then Acts chapter 8. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you this building is not a church. Church can be in here, but a brewery can be in here. I give you in Sunday school, several churches are shut down. They put breweries in there. They can put anything in here in this church. This church used to be a chicken coop. They can make it a chicken coop. Somebody wouldn't make a bit. There's nothing sacred, nothing miraculous, nothing miracle about this building. It's nothing but wood, brick, whatever. Nothing else to it. Acts chapter 2, verse 47 said this. Here they are at Pentecost. They said this, praising God and having favor with all the people, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's not a local church. That's that spiritual body of Jesus Christ. When God saved you, that's what He did. And it's nothing to do with this building, nothing. I'm trying to encourage you, trying to let you know what we're doing is the right thing to do to keep you safe, and that God can speak to you in the car and speak to you where you're at. You don't have to be in a building. Most of the church history, they weren't in buildings. Turn over to Acts chapter 8. Let me show you something else. Go to Acts chapter 8, 1 Corinthians 15. Acts chapter 8, you're in Acts anyway. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Get 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to go to Acts 8, 1 Corinthians 15, Acts chapter 9. I'm going to show you something else about this church. You know, we are the body of Christ. We're not a building. Not a physical building. It has nothing to do with this thing, right? Nothing. And don't get me wrong, I like to be here. I like to be comfortable. I like the air conditioning going on. I like the shaking. I wish we could do what we could do. I miss the singing, man. I miss hearing Miss Rachel singing that glory I'm saved, glory I'm saved. I miss it! But that's not going to stop me. He said, Lord, Hebrews, let us go on. Let us go on to perfection. Look over Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Here's a Saul of Tarsus. Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Here's what he said about him. Remember this? Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Talking about Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made him great lamentations. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, impaling men and women, committed them to prison. You know what he did? He persecuted the church. Look over first. Keep Acts handy. Flip over to 1 Corinthians 15. There's a bunch of verses I could give you. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. Here's Paul talking. He said, for I am the least of apostles that are not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. You thank God Paul went around kicking the church building? Hey, take that. Take that. Take that. I mean, you're not that dumb, are you? Hey, you think the church is this building? Think that's what he's persecuting? You say, why was he persecuting? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Acts chapter 9. We've never closed this church. This church has been going. It'll keep going as far as I'm concerned. We just may not be in this silly building. This thing gets worse, no telling what we'll have to do. I tell you, I think it's good what's happening in our churches, by the way. I think it's good for us. I think we need to get away from these buildings. I think people put their faith in these buildings. I heard old David Wood preach a while back tell me to say this in his league of Brother Eby's church in Graysville. A couple of years ago, some of you were here there, I think, went with us. And Brother David said this. He said, nearly every church member we get that comes to join our church, they get saved after they come to our church. You remember that? He said, nearly everyone we get, they're members of other churches, they come to our church and later on get saved. We've seen that here. And he said this. They don't know the difference between the church and the Lord Jesus. He said they're putting their faith in the church because they go to a church. They think there's something about the church. Not about this church. This church is nothing but a building. That's all it is. Acts chapter 9 verse 1. Watch this. You say, what is the church? What was Paul persecuting? Acts chapter 9 verse 1. There's Saul of Tarsus going on the road to Damascus. You know that. And the Bible said he's persecuting. Saul yet breathing out threatening slaughter. Verse 1. Against the disciples of the Lord. Verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him from a light from heaven. Remember, he said he persecuted the church, persecuted the church. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying in the Saul, 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 why persecuted the church? Is that what he said? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. He wasn't persecuting the building. He was persecuting saved people in Jesus Christ. And that's my body. And when you persecute them, you're persecuting me. And you know what? It's a spiritual body. But let me take you a little bit further. It's more than that. Take your Bible. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You say, what are you trying to say this morning, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, just because we can't meet in the building, got to meet with you. Because there's nothing special about this building unless we're in it. Nothing special. Me and Uncle Reuben, Annie Mae, we were out here Friday doing some yard work and all that stuff. And it was just like any other building. It's just a building. The church of God is not a building. It's a body. It's a spiritual body of Jesus Christ. When you got saved, God placed you. And it's more than that. I'll tell you something else about that. It's a physical body, your physical body. You know when it said Paul persecuted the church? Paul didn't persecute the spiritual body. He persecuted this physical body. This physical body of you that you're in is part of the church. And God will meet you wherever you're at. Look over 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look what this says. And don't believe me, look what this says. This body that God gave you is important. He said, defile not the temple of God. That's one reason why you don't want to play around these viruses and do crazy things. You want to make this thing as clean as possible to serve God. Because this is a temple that God gave you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Watch this.
Look what it says. I hope you got it. Know that your souls, what it says, know that your spirit, know that your bodies, the body is a member of Christ. This body you're in. It goes on to say, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid, talking about fornication, flesh joining flesh. What, know you that he is joined to a harlot is one body, two shall be one flesh? That he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit, flee fornication, everything that they do is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Watch this. What? What? Verse 19. Know ye not that your body, this body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you. You know what a temple is? It's a building, like a church. In fact, some of the old timers. Alan Jones has a church up in Ohio, started. Rick Drummond's the pastor now. It's called Lebanon Baptist Temple. Gateway North Shows a church, Temple Baptist. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you this body that you God gave you is part of the church, part of the member of Christ, and you ought to honor it, not defile it. And you ought to worship God in it, wherever you're at. Over in Acts chapter 16, we saw about those people at Mars Hill, and Paul said, you worship the unknown God. God dwelleth not in a temple made with hands. God dwelleth in this temple that he made right here. If you've been saved. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I can give you a lot more. I'm trying to get through here. I got a few more minutes. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God's not interested in this building other than what we do with it. Other than that. Nothing special, nothing magical. If we can't meet in this building, so be it. If we meet in a car and do the things we're doing, so be it. We're not closing this church because this church is not the building. Never has been, never will be. God forbid that we'd ever get that messed up and think this is what it's about. This is not what it's about. Brother Cooper used to preach this church and he would say it all the time, one of his favorite things. He'd stand right down there and slip that finger up and just mark for members. And he'd say, it's not about Brother Terry, it's not about Jeff, not about Pearl Lake, it's about him. That's what it's about. Never been about that stuff. Never been about it. You say, what are you talking about a building? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I could give you a bunch of verses here on this. I don't have time this morning. I don't want to keep these folks in the car too much longer. But look what it says. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 6. I planted, Paulus watered. But God gave the increase. It's when somebody gets saved. He's talking about souls. Come down to the verse 9. Let's just skip down quick. It said, for ye are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Look at this. Look at that next verse. Ye are God's building. You know the building God's interested in. He's not interested in this brick. He's going to destroy it and burn it. He's interested in this building, this temple of clay that the Holy Ghost of God lives in. This is the church right here. And God can meet you right in that car. He can meet you at home. He can meet you at the grocery store. He can meet you if you're saved. I lift no B.R. Lincoln. Man, that's a preaching machine. Lord have mercy. Boy, you couldn't preach like he did today. He is a real deal. He preached, got started, Miss Martha, you probably know him, know about him. Got started walking around preaching, riding a mule. He's a real deal, B.R. Lincoln. Boy, he'll lay it out. I've heard him preaching a message. He's gone to be a Lord in 1980-something. Been gone a while. I'm an old timer, brother. He wouldn't bow to nobody but God. He is a real deal. He said there's a message meeting with Jesus. I think he is saying the greatest presence of God I've ever felt in my life when Jesus Christ and the Lord was closest to me. He said he wasn't in a church. David Wood preached there at Lee Eby's church, preached on walking with God. That'll be filled with the Spirit. And he said that in the message. He said, when Jesus Christ and I've been closest to God and I've been filled with the Spirit, he said, this might surprise you for a preacher, but he said it wasn't in a church. God will meet you in a car. Sometimes God can meet you better there than he can in the church. Because you don't have a lot of time in the church, he'll distract us. He'll distract us. Walk around, look around, look at you. Brother, when you get in the car, sometimes God will show up with you. Or get by yourself, sometimes God will show up with you.
Too many times we don't know how to walk with the Lord like we ought to. Last week I had about, and I'm not kidding, I'm not exaggerating, but I went to church about 20 times last week. About 20 times. I just kind of recollect through. You say, you went to church that much? I did. I went to church at Walmart. I had a good service there. I had a really good service there at the doctor's office. I had about four services at the doctor's office Thursday. I went to Soundboy and I almost started a whole citywide revival, Miss Martha. I was walking down Deerfoot Parkway and I had church. You say, you're just being funny. I'm not being funny. You see, this church is not a building. I don't worry. I don't confine it here, and I preach it over and over and over since I've been here. Don't make Pearl Lake Baptist Church your spiritual life. If you do, you'll be miserable. I went to the doctor's office Thursday. I hadn't been to the doctor in quite a few years, but didn't have insurance. We had to get a prescription, new doctor, Dr. Gray. He and I had church. I love witnessing doctors, and they appreciate it. And I asked him, you say, Doc? He got all the information about the church. I told my wife, I saw that truck. I said, that might be Dr. Gray. He acted like he was going to come. He is very thankful that I gave him the track, talked to him. I gave several ladies there that was checking your temperature a track, and boy, you could see the smile through the face. I went to get my blood test there, and there's three little girls in there, and I had a big button on that said, Jesus paid it all. And I sat down there and I gave them a gospel tract and said, you ladies, you saved, you know Jesus Christ. And then one of them said, she ran over and looked at that button. She said, I love that button. I said, I'll give it to you if you'll wear it. She said, I'll wear it. She took it off. She put it right on right there. Front and center. She is proud of that button. You know, we had church. Went over to Walmart. Had to pick up the medicine. Got in line. There was a young lady. She lived in Springville. She worked at Chick-fil-A. She's about 4 feet tall. She worked at Chick-fil-A right in the office, right there in front of me waiting for the medicine. And I gave her a little gospel tract. She said, you in Springville? I said, yeah. She said, I live out there. She said, she is saved. I love the Lord. I went up there to got my medicine at Walmart. And there's a big old lady come out there, a big white lady. And I had a button that said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And she said, I love that button. Where'd you get that? And I took it off and gave it to her. And boy, she put it on just like that other one. What do you do, preacher? I had church. See, it's not confined to this old building. Never has been, never will be. I've been saved for 45 years. I had a lot of church service, brother. A lot of church services. I love it too. I tell you right now, this time of year, I told my wife the other day, and we was talking about it. I had more thank yous and more smiles and more appreciate people giving me tracts than I ever have in 45 years of giving out tracts, because they know this world's going to hell. They know it. They know it's a mess. And here, I tell them a lot of times, I've got some good news to tell you. I was walking out of Deerfoot the other day, and a couple of black girls over there, about 15 feet away from me. And they're walking one side, I'm walking the other side. And I yelled over, I said, hey! Hey, you got it! You ladies heard the good news? They said, no, what is it? I said, Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And boy, one of them like this. Hallelujah, glory to God. You say, what'd you do? I had a little church service. Because it's not about this building. I don't confine it here. When this thing hit this virus, I'm close with this. I was thinking about this message. When this thing hit, my brother, who's got a dealership up there, Gas and Ronnie Watkins Ford deal up there, got about 60 something employees, he said. And he's a Christian, loves the Lord, wants to do right, tries to support missionaries and does things to help the Lord. And when this thing hit, I was talking to him when it first hit, and they shut everything down and they weren't selling any cars and nothing. And he told me this. He said, it's going to be a rough time for us. He said, we have a rough time, my employees. But he said this. Here's what he told me. He said, I thank God for this. He said, this country needs this right here. He said, this country is so tied up in politics and they got their eyes off God and everything else. He said, God needs to shake them up. And he said, I thank God for this. And I got thinking about this mess. You know what God's doing? Trying to shake up the churches too. He's shaking them up because it's not about a building, brother. We need to get back to Jesus Christ. Not about worshiping a building. It's about worshiping Him. God can speak to you in a car. He can speak to you in your room. He can speak to you in a closet. He said, one time go in that closet and shut the door and I'll meet you there. He don't have to meet you in this building. Nothing special, nothing sacred, nothing magical about it. It's all about the Lord. And we're the church in the wilderness. We're in the wilderness. We're going to be here a while too. You might as well stick around. This thing's going to keep going. It's just getting started. You just wait. We're about to hit the big time in this thing for long. Big time. And it's already, like that doctor told me, he said, you're doing the right thing. He said, there's no way you can be too cautious about this virus, what I've seen. That's what you need. And we're going to do what we can to keep you safe and worship God. We don't have to be in the building. We can do it out there. And I got some ideas about that later on. Our Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I thank you so much. Lord, boy, I wish I could have preached this message, Lord. I wish I had about 2 hours on this message. But I'm so glad, God, you don't dwell in temples made with hands. If you did, God, none of us could make it. We couldn't impress you with that. You made this universe. You spoke the worlds into existence. And we're going to impress you with a stupid building. I thank you, God, that you're impressed with us. You're impressed with this body. The Holy Ghost of God dwelleth in the temple of God, which you are. I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, I can worship you and meet with you in the car. Thank you for the church services I've had driving down the road, preaching and singing. Thank you for the church services I've had at Walmart and public. And thank you, God, you showed me a long time ago, God, when I got saved, it wasn't about a building. It was about that walk with you. Lord, you got me around the right people that preach the Word of God. These old King James Bible-believing folks, God, that wasn't afraid to tell the truth. Thank you for that, God. Lord, I pray your blessing upon our church. We know dark days are coming. We know that, Lord. Unless you just miraculously intervene, God, it's going to be a rough deal coming up. It's going to get worse. And we know that help us to be sober and be vigilant because our adversary walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour. Help us not to let a lax guard down, not to be lax this thing, God. Realize, Lord, when this thing happens, we get called, we're called. Pray your blessing upon our church. Speak to us. Help us, God, wherever we might go. Get out tracks. Tell people about you, Lord. Lift you up, God. The world needs to hear some good news. And the good news, the greatest news that ever the world's ever heard is that Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and to save sinners. Nothing greater than that, God. All these other things are secondary, Lord. Like Brother Chris preached last week, that wonderful message. If a man dies, shall he live again? That's the question. That's the question. Father, help us where we might go to be ambassador for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord. So much, God. Again, for putting me around the right people years ago that taught me how to pass out tracts and how to witness and how to preach on the street and do those things. And I'd be ashamed of you, God. Take a stand for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Can't wait to see you, Lord. Can't wait. Can't wait to bow down one day and that face and see that face, Lord, Fanny Crosby saying face to face. Can't wait, Lord. Can't wait, Lord. But Lord, while I'm here, I want to do something. I want to do something. Like Brother Lackey said, I want to get a lick or two in every once in a while, Lord. I can't make a vow. I can't do it, Earl Ingram. I can't do what Charlie Andrews. I can't do right away. I can't do what some of these men can do, God. I don't have the talent. I don't have that. God, I can do something. I can speak up a little bit. I can speak up a little bit, God. I can do my little part. I'm nothing but a little guy. Help me. Help me. Help me to do more. Do more for you. More for you. Lord, we love you this morning. Pray a blessing upon the day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.